The second reading is from Luke chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 to 10. You'll find it on page 990 of the Pew Bible. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your living word. We thank you for sending your Son into the world, not to condemn it, but to save it. Open our eyes today to see the heart of Jesus, who seeks and saves the lost. Open our ears to hear your voice. Open our hearts to be shaped by your love, so that we might join in your mission and rejoice with heaven when the lost are found. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I'm sure at some point in our lives we've all lost something. A phone, a wallet, a set of car keys, a child in a supermarket, if you're me. And we know the mix of panic and determination that follows. Jesus takes this very ordinary, everyday experience and says, that's how God feels about people who are lost from him. And the joy of finding them, well, that's the heartbeat of heaven. I remember once a friend phoning me who had lost their passport the night before a flight. You can imagine the scene in their house, clothes pulled out the drawers and out of bags, the bags tips upside down, making sure that nothing was left in there. The whole house overturned. And the sheer relief when they finally found it under a pile of papers that they've already checked three times. They were so happy that they had to ring someone and tell them straight away, "I found it." I'm sure we can all relate to when we lost something important and we find it. We just want to go out and tell people. Now imagine that, but multiplied by infinity. That's what Jesus is saying about God. When one sinner repents, heaven doesn't give a polite nod. Well done. The angels throw a party. And this matters because in our world today, people are lost in ways we often underestimate. There's a spiritual homelessness in our culture. Think about how many young people say today and describe themselves as, "I'm spiritual, but not religious." They're searching, but they don't know where their home is. And Jesus says, "That's who I came for. That's who I am seeking. That's who I want to save." Today's reading in Luke 15 begins with Jesus surrounded by tax collectors and sinners. These were people despised by society. Tax collectors worked for Rome, the occupying power at the time, and often cheated their own people by taxing them more than they should. Sinners were the people who never measured up religiously. And the Pharisees grumbled at this. They said, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." In their world, to eat with someone who was to accept them. For them, Jesus' behavior was scandalous. How can you accept these people? But Jesus doesn't defend himself with an argument. He tells them two stories, everyday stories about a shepherd and about a woman, but they are both filled with divine truth. The first about the lost sheep. The shepherd has 100 sheep, but one wanders off. 99 out of 100 isn't too bad in my eyes. If you're running a business and 99% of your stock was safe, you probably consider that a success. But shepherding is not about statistics. To the shepherd, every sheep counts. Psalm 23 reminds us, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Shepherding in the Bible is not about numbers, but about relationship, care, protection, and personal knowledge. Jesus says in John 10:14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." The shepherd doesn't see a crowd, he sees individuals. Each one has a name, a face, a place in his heart. Now, a sheep on its own is in real trouble. They're not clever animals. Unlike dogs who can find their way home. Unlike goats that can climb to escape. A sheep is vulnerable, defenseless against wolves, unable to find food or water, and likely to get stuck in a thicket or fall into a ravine. The hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," puts it perfectly. "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." That's us, spiritually speaking. Left to ourselves, we drift. And what does the shepherd do? He doesn't shrug and say, "Well, it's only one." He leaves the 99 and goes into the wilderness. Notice the word we heard, which is in verse 4. "Until he finds it." Not if, not when it's convenient, but until. That is the persistence of God's love. Imagine the scene, the shepherd climbing rocky paths, calling out into the night, scanning the horizon, listening for the faintest bleat. Every step is for the sake of that one lost sheep. And when he finds it, does he drive it home with a stick? No, Luke says he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. He bears the weight of the sheep's weakness, its foolishness, its helplessness. This is a picture of grace. Isaiah 53:6 says, "We are all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." At the cross, Jesus became the shepherd who carries us, our sin, our wandering, our lostness, on his shoulders. Think for a moment of rescue stories we hear today. A lost hiker found by mountain rescue. A child found wandering from home. The rescuers don't scold, they embrace, they lift, they carry. That's the heart of God. Not condemnation, but joy. Not "how could you," but "welcome home." And when the shepherd returns, he doesn't keep the joy to himself. He calls his friends and neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." Heaven celebrates when the lost are found. Then Jesus tells of a woman with 10 silver coins and loses one. These aren't small change. In the first century Jewish world, 10 silver coins likely formed a necklace that a married woman wore. It wasn't just decoration, it symbolized her marriage covenant, her security and her identity. To lose one wasn't simply losing money, it was like losing a part of herself. Think of how a wedding ring functions today. It's not the financial value that cuts deepest, it's the symbolism. It feels like a piece of the marriage bond has gone missing. So what does the woman do? She lights a lamp, sweeps the house, and searches carefully, and still she finds it. The houses at the time were small with few windows, often dark inside. Floors were made of dirt or stone with cracks where a coin could easily slip down out of sight. The only way to find it was to light a lamp, bend down and carefully sweep every corner. This is painstaking, relentless work. And notice the word again. Not if, but until. She refuses to stop searching. And when she finds it, she doesn't slip it back on quietly into her necklace and moves on. She calls her friends and neighbours to celebrate with her. This was, excuse me. This was good news worth sharing. Jesus as the shepherd didn't keep his joy to himself, but invited others in. So the woman wanted her whole community to rejoice with her. It's an ordinary domestic story, but it reveals the extraordinary divine truth. God doesn't stop searching until the lost are found. And his search isn't half-hearted. It's persistent, costly, and careful. He shines the light of the gospel into the darkest corners, sweeping aside the dust, refusing to rest until those who belong to him are restored. It's worth noting in this parable, the coin can't find itself. It has no awareness of being lost, no ability to move towards being found. Salvation is entirely the work of God. It's his initiative, his persistence, his grace. As Romans 8:5-8 tells us, we are all sinners. Christ died for us. So when Jesus says there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents, it's not just a polite smile in heaven. It's a party, a celebration. Just as the woman calls her friends and neighbors to share her joy, God calls heaven itself to rejoice when one person turns back to know him. And then Jesus drives this point home. He says in verse 10, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That line is staggering when you stop to think about it. The angels who sang at creation, who worship day and night around the throne of God, who are mighty messengers of him, pause their worship to rejoice over one sinner who turns back to God. Heaven throws a party for what might look like on earth a small, ordinary event. Someone whispering a prayer of repentance. Someone turning their life around. Someone saying, Lord, I need you. What might go unnoticed in the world shakes heaven with joy. And this is why Jesus came. Luke 19:10 sums it up perfectly. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. His mission was not to gather the already righteous, not to create a religious club, but to go after those who are wandering, broken, and far away. This is the heartbeat of the gospel. It echoes through the whole story of Scripture, right back to Genesis 3, after Adam and Eve had eaten the forbidden fruit in the garden. What is the first thing that God does after they have betrayed him? He comes walking in the garden, calling out, where are you? That question has echoed throughout history. From the very beginning, God has been seeking the lost. He doesn't leave humanity to its shame. He comes looking. The Old Testament is full of this picture. Ezekiel 34 gives us God's promise. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. And in Christ the Good Shepherd, that promise is fulfilled. He doesn't just seek, he saves. He doesn't just call out, where are you? He carries us home. So the punchline is this. The whole story of the Bible is the story of God who seeks. The climax of that story is a Saviour who saves. The gospel in a single sentence. But what does this mean for us today? Well, first, it's personal. Some of you may feel lost. Maybe you've drifted. Maybe shame has convinced you God wouldn't want to take you back. But hear this. He hasn't given up on you. He will search until he finds you. And when he does, he doesn't scold. He rejoices. Let me tell you about John Newton, the author of the hymn Amazing Grace. He was a slave trader, a man who had sunk into deep depravity, and in fact became a slave himself. And yet Christ sought him, saved him, and then he would write in that most famous of hymns, "I was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." If grace can reach John Newton, it can reach you. Secondly, it's missional. If this is the heart of God, it must be the heart of his people. The church is not a museum for saints, but a hospital for sinners. We are not gatekeepers, we are searchers. And there's a challenge here. Are we more like the Pharisees who grumbled, or like the shepherd and the woman who searched? Do we see sinners as people to avoid or people to pursue in love? Think about your context, perhaps a workplace, your street, or even in your family. Who is that one person God is calling you to pray for, to reach out to invite, to seek? Jesus left the 99 for the one. Will we? Thirdly, it's communal. When the lost are found, there's joy, not just for God, but for the whole community. The shepherd calls his friends. The woman calls her neighbors. Evangelism isn't just about saving souls. It's about enlarging the circle of celebration. It's about bringing people home into a community in love with brothers and sisters, in which in the world sometimes they cannot find. I've seen over the past few months people joining us in our church and telling me after, "Dan, it feels like home. I find love and acceptance here." And that comes through simple conversations after the service, simple welcoming of people into our church family. We don't know the power of our words in people's lives and the situations which they are in. So here is the big truth to take home. God is relentless in his love. He seeks and saves the lost. No one is too far gone. No one is beyond his reach. And when one sinner repents, heaven celebrates. That's the heartbeat of God. That's the mission of Christ. And it's the calling of the church. So let's rejoice in being found. And let's join the shepherd and the woman in the search, seeking and saving the lost with the heart of Christ. What we have found, let others now come to enjoy. That is our mission, one person at a time. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that when we were lost, you sought and saved us. Thank you that you carry us home on your shoulders with joy. Give us your heart for the lost, courage to go after them, and faith to believe that no one is beyond your reach. May our church be a place where heaven's joy is shared on earth as one sinner after another is found in you. Amen.